Welcome to the Money Insights Podcast, where high income earners go to learn wealth building strategies that will take them from high income to high net worth.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Money Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Christian Allen. With me, as always, Rod the Pod Zabriskie. Rod, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, glad to be here. Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
You got a new house.
I got a new house. Yes, bought a new house. It's been a little bit chaotic, but it happened. So we closed on it yesterday, or it funded yesterday, closed on it Tuesday. We're just going to start moving in this weekend. So
that's awesome.
All sorts of good stuff. Congratulations. Thanks. I'm excited about it. It'll be fun. It'll be good. There's not a lot on the market, and we were lucky to find something that works.
Yeah, I know it was a struggle for you.
It was a struggle. We were going to build first, right? So we had this plan on an acre lot out in, people don't really care where it was, but in a place where there's acre lots still. And we were excited to build on that, but it was going to take like, you know, a year and a half to put it all together. And we just didn't want to wait that long. So
nobody wants to wait a year and a half.
So especially since we're in separate places now and needing to get in the same place. So anyway, thanks, Rod. I'm super excited about it. And good news. It's Thursday morning. So we get to enjoy a little bit of extra curricular activity in the form of lawnmowers out my window. Here's the good news. I can hear them coming. Here's the good news, Rod. After today's episode, once I moved into the new office, this should no longer be an issue because I'll control when the yard work is being done.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome. It is. Okay. So yes, I am very excited to get out of here. I moved into this apartment as a kind of temporary place. It was supposed to be very temporary, like maybe 6 months, but that was 3 years ago. And it just didn't make, I just hadn't made sense of it yet. So anyway, finally we made sense and ready to go. Okay. Thanks for the congratulations, Rod.
Should we move into
our topic for today?
Yes, I'm ready.
So the topic for today, we called the podcast The Three-Step Plan to Put Your Business on the Map, fast.
Fast.
Yeah, that's important.
And if you could see what Christian put together here, there are three exclamation points after fast.
Yes.
Emphasis on fast.
Okay, emphasis on fast. Yes, because here's the thing. Anybody can put a business together over 5 years. Well, look, I shouldn't say that. It's really hard to put a business together no matter what the time frame is.
Yeah.
But certainly nobody's listening to this and thinking, you know, if these guys could, if they could give me a plan to get, you know, on the map over the next 5 years, that would really be helpful for me. So no, we're talking about getting it on the map over the next 3 months.
Yeah.
And that there's
a big
difference.
It doesn't have to take that long. Yeah, for sure.
Big difference. Okay. So Rod, before I do that, I feel like there's not any like good way to brag, right? Like, is that fair to say? But I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it anyway. But here's my reason. I feel like I have good logic behind it. So if you're listening and thinking, oh, great, just know that I'm a podcast listener myself. And of course, you want to know that the people you're talking to or the people you're listening from, especially if they're going to give advice on some specific topic, that they actually have some acumen and track record of success, right? Okay, so Rod and I together, we started Money Insights. I started in the financial services industry about 15 years ago, did a variety of different things, mostly was kind of in the leadership side of it, building an agency. And then Rod and I broke off and decided we wanted to go completely independent on our own. That's maybe 6 or 7 years ago. Now we produce this year between $3.5 and $4 million of compensation and about an 80% profit margin. So the business is growing and every year it gets significantly bigger. So we have a good thing going with our kind of core business, Money Insights. And then we also have a little bit of experience doing some other stuff, a brick and mortar type business. And I'm not going to pretend that we were awesome at it, but we did some good things along that line. And specifically, we did some things that got the business on the map and that I think are relevant to today's topic. So we owned a day spa. It was Spa Via Day Spa. It was here in Sandy, Utah. And the thing I'm probably most proud of that we were able to do there is we We went from 4.3 stars Google rating to 4.7, and that and we're going to talk about how we did that quickly and kind of what that meant for the business itself. Okay, yeah. So again, not a great way to brag, but at least we have some success. Roz also has some experience prior to working together that he's done some businesses on his own. He had a furniture business he's talked about. So anyway, we have at least a little bit of acumen to teach. Now, the other thing we have is we have some really good mentors who taught us. So yeah,
for sure.
Aside from, you know, the success that we have had, we also have been smart and brought good people around us. So in this case, we hired a business coach, and this was about a year ago or so. And some of the material that we're going to talk about today was incredibly valuable material that we got from our business coach. So anyway, Rod, that was kind of a long intro into the topic, but does it at least give some context, I hope?
Yeah, and can I throw out just a little disclaimer?
Please.
This is meant to be informative and helpful. We don't mean to oversimplify what it takes to create a successful business, but we also want to point out that it doesn't have to be overly complex either. If you can break it down into some pieces, bite-sized pieces that you can take on and really do well, then it doesn't have to be overly complex.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think it is important to, because you're right, we're going to be missing a lot of details, but today we're not focused on, you know, the ins and outs of how to run a medical practice. What we are going to be focused on is if you already have a medical practice that's up and running, or you're wanting to put one or get one up and running, we're going to talk about how to start getting patients. That's the value that this can bring for you.
Yeah, for them to find you and have a lot of confidence in you before they even walk in the door.
Yeah, those are great points. Okay, so with that said, Rod, let's jump into it. So our three-step plan, number one, and this may be a little bit obvious, but I think it's important. Mm-hmm. Not I think it's important. It is. It's the most critical step, and that's why we put it at step number one. You have to offer a high-quality product or service. What do you think, Rod?
Good. Yeah, I think that's good. Let's move on to number two.
I'm just kidding. Let's do it.
Yeah, because that is one of those things that...
kind of obvious, right?
Yeah, but we don't want it to be so obvious that we don't think about it.
Okay, so I have a story.
Yeah.
A quick story, and then you can go, and then I want you to talk a little bit about proof of concept and building out processes, okay? So I was listening to a podcast from our business coach, and... This was probably just a few days ago. I do a lot of podcast listening when I'm on my elliptical in the morning. It just is like, gets me in the zone, you know? Anyway, I'm listening and he was telling a story. So this is a secondhand story, but I think it was super relevant. So he's talking about this guy that came and asked him to coach him, right? To do some business coaching. And so he was, he did internet marketing and, I'm going to simplify this. How about I just simplify it? Long and short of, this guy had a horrible product. So he comes back to Clay and he's like, Clay, I don't get it. You know, I'm doing these things that you're telling me to do, but it's just not working. I'm not getting the traction you're talking about. And so Clay's like, okay, well, let's go. You know, I'm going to look at the details and figure out what's going on. Well, it turned out as he went into the guy's email, this is a contractor actually, now that I think about it. He goes into the email. They're working together, and this guy's got email after email saying like, hey, you know, I paid you $80,000 to put in my windows in my house over here, and, you know, you haven't talked to me. This is my 12th email. I'd at least like to know what's going on.
Oh, wow.
So he's just scamming people and apparently taking it. But I know that's like a dramatic example, mm-hmm. but you should absolutely care in today's day and age what people think about your business. It's the most critical aspect. So we're going to talk a lot about digital marketing and Google reviews and things like that. But I think the important part here is if you don't offer a high quality product or service, then it doesn't matter what else you do. It's going to fall flat eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to think about it from the standpoint of the end user, the patient, the product user, whatever context that you're in. But you have to put yourself in their shoes and maybe even build people around you that experience it and give you real feedback so that you can make it better.
So I think our philosophy at Money Insights is do everything we possibly can for our clients that they wouldn't want to do for themselves. Now, there's some things that we can't do for them, but I'm one of those people that, like, I get bogged down by paperwork and details and things like that. So for someone like me, it's unbelievably helpful to have somebody who's going to come and say, okay, I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to simplify it by saying, I'm going to do these things and you're going to do those. So I really like what you said there. If you put yourself in the shoes of the end user, whether it's a patient or a consumer or whatever, then, and you can start saying, how would I want to be treated in that situation? How would I want to be approached? Normally, you're going to find common ground between you and those end consumers, right? So I think that's a really great point.
And it's not, these are things you don't have to always take on yourself. You build a team around you to provide this product or service. Well, build people around you that can take up the deficiencies that you have. So you brought up the whole paperwork thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you and I both are not great at that. I might be a little bit better, right? Than
a lot better, but yeah.
But so what we have is that anyone who's worked with Brittany on our team has had a great experience. At least any of the feedback I've ever heard from anybody about Brittany has been positive, that she just goes overboard in trying to make it easy on them to go through paperwork of all things, the worst.
She gets it.
You know? Yeah.
Well, and we beat it into, it's part of our culture, right? It's part of the company culture to make sure the product or service is as easy to use as possible.
Yep.
I think that's a great point. Okay, Rod, talk a little bit about proof of concept.
Okay, so proof of concept is just, it's kind of what we've been talking about. You want to make sure that whatever you're providing is of value to those that you ultimately want to use it. And again, I may be stating the obvious. I understand that. But there are ways that you can understand. So, and maybe in the world of a widget, you know, I come up with some sort of invention that I just think is amazing. I think it's going to solve everyone's problems. But just because I think so doesn't mean the market thinks so. Doesn't mean there are customers out there.
That's a problem a lot of inventors have, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I have to figure some way to prove that out, get it out there, make sure that I can not only understand if it has a place in the market, but fine tune it to the needs and the uses, whatever problem it solves. And so I have to build out some way to get there.
So a business should be meant to solve a problem, right? So we create a business to solve a problem. And so, like you're saying, what you don't want to do, and obviously you're not going to be able to create a high quality product or service if nobody wants it. And that might be your first inclination of whether it's a high quality product. Now, that's not fair, because you could have something that's of high quality that just doesn't have high demand. But like you're saying, at the end of the day, when it comes to putting your product or service out in the market, it has to be good. You have to be able to show that people want it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense to invest and continue to try to build, right?
And you have to make sure that it's understood, because there are some products that it takes some sort of education process to get to people to a point where they're like, oh yeah, I understand what
luckily,
it is.
Luckily, we don't have to I do want that it. In our business.
That's right.
Ours is everybody more simple. You just go online, you say, I want a big fat... No, I'm just kidding. That's not really how it works in our business, but education is so critical. So that's a good point, Rod.
Yeah, and it's easy to talk about it first on the widget side, because that's a level that everyone can understand. But even on a service side, whatever service you provide, even if it's... Let's stick with our medical listeners. You spent years preparing yourself to provide this...
Yeah, service,
right? This, which is clearly needed in the market, but that doesn't.
So why don't
mean
some doctors have as many patients as they want?
Or have the reputation that they
or
that
the
they
reputation
really,
that they want?
You know,
yeah,
envisions.
I think that's huge. I have a close friend that I grew up with who's a dentist. I'm obviously not going to say a name here, but I grew up with a buddy. And he's done really well. I've seen him on social media stuff. He's always traveling, and I know he's done financially really well. And I thought, oh, I'm going to see what this person's up to. I looked him up, and he was on, like, one of the states, like, oh, Utah has a Gephardt, right? Gephardt is basically, like, like people... It's like the news going and investigating a business because they think there's an issue or a problem, right? Yeah. Maybe they get a bunch of complaints, and so get... Well, so this state, I'm not even going to give any states here, but did the same thing. Only it was my buddy. I was like, oh, no. What is happening here? Like, he was a close friend of mine growing up. Like, I haven't talked to him in 15 years, but to see that his reputation was hugely tarnished by just some really simple things. So, and you can't get it back. Once it's on the internet, you can't get it back. So he's got a news story. If you type in his name, you're going to have right on the first page of Google a news story about this dentist. And guess what? It's going to be really hard to for him to continue to build and see success because of that specific issue. So, yeah. I think that's a great point, Rod. It's not just about the service. It's about your reputation. And you have to manage that and treat it like gold.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you do that? And again, this isn't as much about the nuts and bolts, but I really feel like we just need to hit on the idea that you want to build out processes. And think about it. McDonald's is kind of like the iconic example on this one.
On the process.
The consistent experience that you have, regardless of where you go to a McDonald's in the U.S., in Russia, in whatever, Chile, and so you're not you may not be a franchise, but that's okay. You still want people to have a consistent experience, a consistently good experience every time they interact with you and your staff and your product. And so the only way to get there is to build out processes and make sure that the training and whatever has to happen to build those into the system, the culture, that happens. And again, why are we saying all this? Well, it goes back to offering a high quality product or service. It's critical.
Nailed it. Okay. Number one is, like you said, you have to offer a high quality product or service. It's obvious, but it's critical. Okay. Now that we pounded number one, I think everyone gets that. Let's jump into number two. And by the way, number three is the most fun to talk about. But number one and two have to happen in order to do number three well. So number two, Rod, give it to us.
Okay, so number two is you have to know your target market.
Okay, so, and this can be tricky, right? This can be very tricky because the natural tendency for us as people is to not want to alienate people, right? So when we're out there marketing, I know this firsthand, it gives me anxiety at times to think like, okay, if I focus too much on this group, well, what about this person that comes in and needs our help, or this person that maybe doesn't fit inside of our target or niche audience? Like, that can, you know, that can really bother us as people. We have to be willing to fight that and actually focus in on the niche, because part of business success is creating a revenue that's not just consistent and predictable, but has the highest margins. Margins are critical, right? So what ends up happening is when you define your target market, then it becomes easier to get the same result over and over and over, right? So in our situation, we specifically work with and target high income earners. And you can see from our information that we work even more specifically with physicians and dentists. Now that's not everybody, but that's the core market that we meet with. And so, what that's done for us is it's allowed us to really focus in on and put our message, build our message around the people who are going to be listening and working with us. And any business that does that will have drastically more success than if you just try to go, you know, master of none, right?
Right. And so and it trickles over into things we've already talked about. When you're building out your processes, when you're putting yourself in the shoes of the person, you know, that's going to be using your product or service, it's critical that you know who that is, that you understand the what are called the demographics. That means the age, gender, location, right? The demographics. But then there's also what they call the psychographics, the what do they read? What do they listen to? What kind of music do they like? And obviously inside of, again, in this case, dentists and physicians, there's going to be a broad range of those things. But if I'm truly going to get in the minds of my clients, my end user, then it's helpful to build those things out and to understand them so that I can really speak the language of my target.
Amen, Rod. I don't even think we have to spend a lot of time on this one. From my perspective, the value of the greatest value of defining your target market is creating a focus that you didn't mm-hmm. have before, right?
Yeah.
Anytime that you're lacking focus, it makes it difficult because there's so many things you could be doing. What happens then is we kind of bring it down into focus. Now we can say, what are the most productive things that we can do and you know, spend our time on those. Okay, so number one, you've got to offer a high quality product or service. Number two, you've got to know your target market. Is there anything you want to add on number two? Are we ready to move?
No, yeah, I think let's do it.
Okay, this next one will be fun. And number three, you got to dominate Google. You notice here, Rod, I didn't even say you have to dominate the digital marketing space.
Uh-huh.
I said you have to dominate Google. Okay, Rod, so the question is, why do you have to dominate Google? Well, because 92.4% of all searches were from Google. Now, I have to clarify something. That is insane. It's amazing. Google has dominated the market and industry completely. But Google doesn't just... We can't think of Google exclusively as Google anymore, right?
Yeah.
So Google has purchased a couple of key search engines. So when you rank the largest search engines, Google itself is number one, right? Number two is Facebook. And then I think number three is Yahoo. Number four is Bing. And then there's even YouTube in there somewhere. The thing that's funny is I hear and I've seen people who spend a lot of time on some of these like ancillary things, and it just doesn't make sense. So if you want to get your business on the map fast, plain and simple, you just got to focus on dominating Google, because dominating Google means creating the digital presence that you want.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so now that we've talked a little bit about why it's important to dominate Google... hey, Rod, I didn't realize I have my stats here. So let me clarify those things. So Facebook's 2.9%. It's number two behind Google. Now, I'm going to break this out because we're going to talk a little bit about Google Images and Maps here in a few minutes. And that's a really important factor here, too, which was really shocking to me, by the way, because I have never in my life gone to Google Maps to do like a or to sorry, excuse me, Google Images. I've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what an ancillary bonus tip is, Rod? I have another one, so don't let me forget. When we do our bonus tip at the end, just make that. That's a teaser for everybody.
Okay.
This is a good one. It's important.
Okay, wait.
So Facebook's 2.9%, Yahoo's 1.57, YouTube's 1.05. And then, like I said, altogether, that's 92%. Okay. Do you think I clarified the percentages enough? I probably said it three times now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, so let's move on from the percentages. I think that tells a pretty clear story as to why we're going to focus on Google specifically. Okay, now I want to talk about Google Maps for a second, because this, again, this was really surprising to me. Inside of Google, 20% of all searches, which, again, when you think about it, this makes Google Maps far and away the second largest kind of search engine. I'm doing quotes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But what's happening is 20% of people who search with Google are searching inside of Maps. And we'll talk about why that's important here in a second. There is a connection between this and our three-step plan to dominate. We're still focusing on the why before we jump into the how. Okay, a couple more things I think are really important. Not only does Google Maps represent 20%, this is wild. I just learned this in my research for today's podcast. 63% of people of the 20% of Google searches end up turning into site visits, which is way bigger than anything. There's just nothing else that's really even close to it in terms of converting. So again, the reason we're emphasizing this is because turns out that Google Maps are important. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. I mean that. Like, who would have thought?
Well,
but they are.
And let's clarify something, too. This includes, like, when you do a search, so let's just say it's, you know, A and B plumbing service or something, right? That's just down the street. Mm-hmm. When you do that search and you get your regular search results on the left-hand side, but on the right-hand side, it kind of breaks out this business. It knows what you're looking for, and it shows additional information that qualifies under this search of maps. So you didn't have to go to Google Maps and do your search. Even if you did a traditional search and it pops this up and puts you into the Google Maps segment of the Google Maps world.
Important distinction,
that's included
Rod.
Here as well.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. Thank you for throwing that out.
And you want that to be you. If someone's looking for whatever you provide, you want that to be you that's popping up over there on the right-hand side.
Absolutely, Rod. Okay, you put in our last point. I want you to talk a little bit about why this last point's important.
Okay, yeah. So I said you have to be able to track your traffic. So
track the traffic.
My undergrad degree was in marketing communications, basically just a fancy way of saying advertising, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a famous quote that 50% of your advertising is working. The problem is you don't know which 50% it is. Okay?
It's a challenge, for sure.
Now, that was a long time ago.
Okay, you don't have to say the exact, Rod.
When
but...
I graduated, but it was 2000 when I graduated. And
well, you just threw the cat out of the bag. I was trying to keep it in there, but I guess...
That's right. So, but... Even though that doesn't feel like it was that long ago, from the digital world, from our advertising world, marketing world, everyone knows that it was an eternity ago.
Yeah, marketing looks drastically different.
Yeah, and so it doesn't have to be that way anymore. Our ability to track, if I'm doing what we're going to present today, and I'm putting my efforts and my time into improving, or let me not even say that, dominating Google.
Dominating Google,
right?
Yes. We're not going to improve. We're going to dominate it.
Yeah. Then my ability to track what's happening is crucial, because if I don't know the score, I can't improve. I don't know what play to call next. But if I do, if I'm doing my tracking, if I'm doing the things we talk about today and I'm tracking it, then I know where I need to improve.
Okay, so I think what you're saying there, Rod, is that you have to track your traffic.
Track it.
Okay. You're right. It is nice that we have all of the tools now that it's pretty simple to do, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of being disciplined, taking the time to look at it and determine, you know, the value of it. In other words, you have to track it, but you also have to analyze it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Those two things are pretty important. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So let's jump into the how on it. Okay, yeah. So I think it's pretty clear that we need to dominate Google, but now we got to talk about actually those action steps that need to take place in order to do it. Okay, so here they are. 5 steps. Dominate Google quickly. Okay, number 1 is obvious, but you've got to have a quality website.
Yeah.
The website's obvious because that's what people see initially when they, even if they find you through a Google ad or a Facebook ad or some other medium. The natural thing for people to do is to check out your website. So I put that one I didn't even have on there initially, but then I just like in my head, I thought, oh, you got to have this. So making sure that your website is quality. Now, let's be clear. I don't think that means you've got to spend $100,000 on your website. Mm-hmm. It does mean, however, that it has to look professional. And when people go there, they have to be able to say, oh, this looks like a professional, trustworthy place that I can do business with, whether it's buying products or services.
Yeah, and it's also going to be the place that's going to house some of the other things that we're going to talk about here in a minute. And so, again, going back to the medical professionals, I know there are a lot of you that just feel like, why? What's the point of putting up a website when it's very clear what I do and when people get recommended? Maybe I'm a specialist and I get people, I have other, you know, general practitioners around me that are sending their patients to me as a specialist, okay? I'm telling you right now, even if you are referred from somewhere else, people care, people are looking, they want to know and have confidence in you before they even come and see you for the first time. And so it's, this is just as important for you, even if you're not thinking, oh, but I don't drive business through a website. I don't drive business this way. I get it somewhere else. People are looking for you. They want to know when they get that referral that they're working with somebody who has a good reputation, who is good. And so you have to let them know who you are and that you're human, right? You're a real person that's really going to help them out. Whether you think you need it or not, you need a website.
Yeah, you absolutely do. And I have a bonus tip for the website. I could have put this in here, but I believe that you said something that struck a memory.
Yeah.
One of the things we were taught and has been important and we've had people comment on is having an About Us video. You said you want people to know that you're real. And it really doesn't matter what company. If you founded a company, it's a great idea to have a video on your website that's you. That's actually your story. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, a couple minutes telling your story. Because what it does is it allows people to feel the authenticity and connect with you individually instead of just looking at it as a brand. And the second people can connect and know that you're a real person and feel the authenticity, that's when trust starts to build.
Yep.
And obviously, we know, like, and trust equals opportunity to work with people. So, okay. I think that's a really good point. Rod, anything else on the importance of needing a quality website?
No, I think we'll build it out kind of as we do these next points.
Yes, we will. Okay, so Rod, number two, Google reviews. Lots and lots and lots of Google reviews. Okay, so here's a thought. Regardless of whether you offer a product or a service, most people only leave a review if they're unhappy.
Yeah,
right. If you notice, if you go out there, like now, there are people who will seek out and try to give people positive reviews, but more often than not, people don't think anything about it unless it's bad, and they're like, "Oh, I've got to go give them a bad review," right?
Yeah, let the world know.
Yeah, I got to let the world know that this place. Well, so what that means is that, because here's the thing, you could do an amazing job 99 times out of 100, and if that one person tells the world that you don't do a good job, then like that's going to be there, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that means you have to ask for Google reviews.
You do.
From your happy customer, happy clients and customers, right?
Yep.
Because again, people don't think to do it. In this way, you ask. Now, here's the nice thing. You don't have to go in and say, hey, will you give me a five, just go give me a 5-star Google review. You just simply ask somebody to give you
review.
What do you usually say?
We usually say an honest review.
Absolutely, Rod. You've got to have honest reviews or objective reviews, right? Mm-hmm. So when you ask your clients or customers, all you're doing is saying, hey, will you give me an objective review? Okay, so I've got a great story about this. You mentioned that I'm purchasing a house. I'm purchasing a house that was a spec home. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have the yard in and it doesn't have the basement in. So I'm doing the basement finish. So I'm doing both of those. And the basement's like, 2,500 square feet or so. So it's pretty good size. We have a good project going on down there. Mm-hmm. I called a bunch of different contractors, but here's the thing I did before I even called them. I looked up Google. I went to Google. I looked at the, general contractors near me. And it ended up being that I went with the one that had way more Google reviews, positive Google reviews than any other one. I actually took the time, though, and met with four of them. I got bids from four of them. I loved this. So we chose this company called RWK Construction. They do basements. And when you look at them, when you go and look at them on Google, the difference between their Google reviews and really any other general contract in our area is just not even close, right? So we had people come up. We just knew, right? And you know how it is. Contractors are they're so difficult to work with in general that it's like, you want to work with people you trust. So guess what? We ended up feeling most confident in this company, RWK, who had like 600 or 700 five-star reviews in comparison to the next closest, which was like 42. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a cool thing. They've started the project. I met with them 2 days ago to get the basement going. And the project manager for us, he kind of went through the, you know, our project. We talked about what it's going to look like, time frames, how to communicate, all those different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then he asked, before they had done any work, he said, reviews are really important to us. So we ask that if we provide if we do a really great job, that you'll give us a 5-star review. Don't do it if we don't, but if we do, we hope that you'll do it. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? This company is just crushing it in the market, and it's not close. So it really is interesting. And we've seen the value in doing this too, just by us making that an emphasis. One, we've gotten a chance to have good conversations with people about it. But number two, now when people go check us out, they see that there's 100+5-star reviews, people who know, like, and trust us already.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing to think about as it relates to your story about the contractor. Even though this may sound hard to believe, there are likely other contractors out there who do a really good job.
I'm certain of it.
Right? But they're not asking
for
reviews.
Probably all of them did.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, potentially. All four of those groups or others out there that you mm-hmm. could have found do an amazing job, but you didn't find them. You didn't see them with hundreds of reviews where people are happy and satisfied and they're providing this high quality service, because they're not asking. They're not doing the things that RWK is doing, and that made the difference for you in doing business with this particular group. And so any listeners out there, think about that in the context of what you do. There are people out there who are finding others by doing the Google searches and kind of that due diligence, so to speak, on the internet, and they're not finding you because you don't have the reviews. You don't have that reinforcement around you online that's making people, that's first of all leading people to you, and then making them feel better about at least considering you as an option.
I have a kind of a crazy thought to consider. So referrals are what we've always been taught. They're the gold. Mm-hmm. They're the gold standard. And I genuinely believe that. Anytime yeah. you're getting referred from a happy existing client or customer, then that's the best place to start. Now,
yep.
that said, Rod, I was referred to a couple of different people. And this was inside of this was in the landscaping. So I've been dealing okay. with contractors yep. and landscapers and all that. So on the landscaping side, I did the same thing that I did on the basement. And I got referred to two separate landscapers who I felt like, okay, I actually didn't check them out before. I got the name and phone number from a group that I'm in, someone I knew mm-hmm. and trusted. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, well, I'll call these people. But after I called them and set up the appointment to have them come visit, I was like, oh, I should check them out and make sure, you know, kind of get a feel for them. Their reviews were horrible. Like,
oh, no.
he had it was only like 15 reviews, but it was like a 3.2 Google review average. And guess what? When he came out, I didn't give him the benefit of the doubt. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I just,
right.
I couldn't. I knew that he had a track record based on people saying that, you know, he didn't communicate well. He kind of ditched us for a month or two or whatever. Those yeah. kind of, you know, typical, I feel like I'm really trashing on contractors right now, but my experience was exactly like it sounds. It was just brutal. Anyway, my point here is this. As powerful as a referral is, even a referral is going to go and check out the Google side of it.
Yeah.
So when you get someone who says, hey, this product's awesome, they're going to check it out on their own. But guess what? The referral is going to be less impactful than the Google review. And that's because this is an unbiased group of people who are commenting about this product or service. They don't have any dog in the fight, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to trust people like that. It just makes sense. So anyway, I know I'm kind of rambling here, but my point here is just that it's so critical to have Google reviews because they have become the gold standard in how people choose what product or service they're going to use, what business
yeah.
they work with.
And you might need to get a little bit creative. So we've kind of hit on this point that you should be asking for them.
Mm. Yeah, you do this, Rod. Talk about how you do it.
Yeah, okay, so... When we complete, you know, business with somebody, then we'll reach out to them. You know, congratulations on this new strategy that we've put into place. And then, and we just ask them, we make it really easy for them, because inside of the email, we have a link that takes them directly to the place where they can fill it in. And here's what's interesting that I was kind of surprised by this. As I look at our reviews and the individuals who left the reviews, more often than not, these are people who are not leaving reviews all over the place.
In general.
Right.
Yeah.
These are people who are leaving reviews. Maybe they've left two in their life or three, right? Mm-hmm. But again, it's because we asked and we made it really easy for them to go to the place where they could do it. And we make it really low pressure, right?
Great point. That's critical
too. Including, hey, you know, you can give us a rating. You can leave comments if you want, but it's not expected. It's not required.
Yeah, do what you feel most comfortable with.
If you just give us the rating. So maybe be a little bit creative on how you do it as it relates to your specific business.
Yeah. So we've made it part of our process, like you said, in that final, once we finished actually transacting the business, we just ask for the referral casually inside of an email, and we put the link right there so they can very easily click on it, put the review, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and some instructions, 1, 2, 3, 4, this is, I don't want to assume everyone knows what to do when they get there, and so I include instructions on what to expect, what they're looking for. Just make it super easy.
This goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. If you make it as simple as possible for people to accomplish something, they're obviously going to be a lot more likely to do so. Mm-hmm. So the same thing applies. And we did the same thing. One of the things that Rod and I were proud of when we owned the day spa, which we just sold a couple months ago. But one of the things we did really well is we dramatically improved Google reviews. So I think when we started, there's probably like 125 or something like that, maybe a little less, but there was, you know, 100 and some change. And we managed to go from 100 and some change to like 500. And
a couple of years, right?
In a couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. Over that 2-year time frame. And really, it was even shorter than that, because we really started to focus on it that last year.
That's true.
And so that's when we took a major jump. But what was happening is, and we went from 4.3 to 4.7. So it was at 4.3 before we owned it. And they had some problems in the sense that, you know, they didn't go by our three-step rule, our three-step plan. And so we had to kind of work through some of those things. But still, just by going and having a process where when somebody got done with their services at the spa, let's say they came out from a massage, they're feeling great. As they come in and they kind of finish up and pay, we'll just ask for an objective review. And most people are just like happy to do it right then. They're feeling good, right? It's a really simple, easy thing to do. I shouldn't say it's easy. It's very simple. But it can be hard. You have to get over the hump of being willing to ask, right? But that's the key for business. You have to do some things that are uncomfortable. And here's the thing. That shouldn't be uncomfortable. I know that it probably is for a lot of people, but that is not a big thing. And most people will not feel pressured, especially if you're doing it in the way that we're talking about. Simple. We're not harassing people. We're just, if they don't do it, no big deal. Mm-hmm. But they've still been asked, and it's given us a chance to, you know, have over, I think we have 112 or something, and every one of them are 5-star reviews. Yeah. So anyway, okay. Is there anything else you want to hit on Google reviews?
No, I think we're good.
We nailed that pretty good, right?
I think so.
Okay, number 3, consistent content. Google loves consistency. So the reason this is important is because of the Google algorithms, and I won't pretend that I know them. But what I do know is a lot of people who have studied those things and given us advice on how to maximize our relationship with Google. So there's a lot of specific things that we could give to, like, you know, word count and, you know, different things that would be useful from an SEO perspective. But from just a simplicity standpoint, the key to generating more SEO is to consistently produce more content. And it can be a variety of things.
Yeah, and SEO stands for search engine optimization. That just means moving yourself up the ranks, showing up higher on the list, when someone searches for, doesn't necessarily have to be your name. Hopefully your name, you're optimized for that. But what you want to do is pick some key words that you think people are looking for when they find yourself or your competitors, and you want to start ranking better for those keywords in Google. And so that's SEO is just the process of doing that. And so what Christian's talking about is if you have all this, if you're building out content consistently, adding new content to your website, then that will move you up in the rankings for those keywords.
So for the spa, for example, by doing these things and starting to produce more content, we found that if I put in day spa near me or day spa in Sandy or something like that, mm-hmm. like most of the time our spa was right up at front, whereas early on it was lagging down further. So, and then what that did is it produced more customers. We called them guests. There's more guests that we didn't really have to do anything other than like, it's the most cost effective marketing strategy that exists. If you're not doing these core things, they're the simplest, most cost effective way to just start generating more flow. And again, you can do it quickly just by getting those things out. Okay, so back to the content. This can be a variety of things, right? You could do it via, if you like to write, then you can do writing. If you like to blog or vlog, you can blog. Rod and I like to podcast. So one of the things that we do to produce consistent content is we use our podcast. And so even if you don't want to be heard by people, podcasting could be a simple way to at least produce regular content on the website. But any way you shake it, Google loves the consistency. So just make sure that regular content is going out. And when I say regular, that needs to be like weekly, right? So once a month just isn't enough, even if it's consistent. You've got to have regular content going out that's relevant and useful. Okay, Rod, did I hit on that okay? Is there anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I think that's good. And that one probably could be a podcast in and of itself. And maybe it will be. But at its core level, just figure out ways to build in content and do it consistently.
Okay. Okay, number four, Rod, is images. Okay, so
this was a surprise,
one
right?
It's so strange. Like never would have expected it and had no even thought of posting like pictures and doing stuff with images. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we go back up to where we were talking about the why on why we need to dominate Google. I talked a little bit about how the percentage of Google searches that are done through images. So now we have 20% of that's happening. Well, guess what? That means that, again, it's the second largest search engine that exists. So we've got to use it. So what does that mean? Just like we talked about with consistent content, you've got to produce consistent images. What have we done on that, Rod? Talk a little bit about kind of the, you know, what you've seen and what we've done on the images side of things.
Yeah, I think this helped us on the spa side as well. So we had to get a little bit creative because in the beginning it's easy because you say, oh, well, here's a picture of our lobby. Here's a picture of, you know, the ambiance and things that you can expect to experience. And so those were important. That's a good starting point. But then it starts to get a little more challenging when you say, oh, but we need to add more. What are we going to do? And so, as we had promotions that we were running, as we had, seasonal treatments that we were introducing, then we could get creative and it didn't have to go crazy, right? We didn't have to have these images all professionally done, and they weren't. In this case, it was our spa director taking it on to make it happen and engaging the other members of the group to do it. Again, consistency.
Yep.
It wasn't just putting 100 images on, you know, on one day and then leaving it alone for a long time, but it was, you know, a couple, two, three, four a month that we were adding as we went. And one thing that it also encouraged was our guests to leave images as well, right? So a selfie that they took while they were there, or or something that they thought was particularly meaningful in terms of the relaxing environment that we were trying to create. And so they would snap a picture and post that. And so it kind of created an expectation for people to see these things. And again, I don't want to get too far off track here. Google likes those things. They like to see new content. When we're putting new images on there, it pushes us higher on the rankings. It just does.
Yep. So everything in here, everything that we're talking about is backed up by Google Analytics. So mm-hmm. if you were to read, and there's several books, so maybe we can find some and put them in the show notes that we could throw up there. But there's several books you can read and get a better understanding of how Google works. I think that's a book, How Google Works. That would be a good one to read. So anything that we're talking about doing here is really just about visibility. So if our goal is to get on the map fast, mm-hmm. these are things that we can do, and they definitely will get us on the map quickly. So if you don't believe us, then maybe we'll put some info with smarter people than us on here so you can believe them. Okay, the next one, Rod. And here's the thing. We have proof that's in the pudding. We did all this, mm-hmm. right? We do all this. We did and do it. Okay, number five, Rod's the expert in this. I have not worked in this space as much, Rod. What is number five?
Okay, so the fifth one here is video reviews.
Oh man, video reviews. Okay, talk about them.
Okay, as valuable as it is to have Google reviews, and it is, for somebody to be able to get onto your website or your YouTube channel or whatever and see real life people talking about their experience working with you, it just takes it to a whole new level. So over the last roughly year, we've focused on this. And I think at this point we have maybe 30 video reviews. It's not an enormous number, but we're pretty proud of it. And it's again, just come with consistent effort. What we've done on our side to do it is we do annual reviews with our clients. Every time a policy anniversary comes around, then that's a ideal time for us to reach out and be touching base with our clients. And we do it anyway. But what I've done is, at those times when we have those meetings, we'll go through the stuff that's important to them and you know, the whole point of the review or the annual review. And then at the end, I'll just say, hey, one thing that we've been doing is we're trying to build up our online presence. I'm just really transparent about, hey, this is what we're doing. Yep. And one of the things is video reviews. And so I kind of explain to them really quickly. We just get on a quick Zoom meeting. I talk through some really basic questions about your experience working with us. And then we just post that to our website. And by doing it that way, by being really clear on what and why we're doing it and what the expectation is, I've had really good success. I would say of the people that I've asked to do it, somewhere in the 60 to 70% range have turned into doing a review, doing a video review. And so you know, you can go check out, if you go to the moneyinsights.net and go to our testimonials page, then you can scroll down and see some of those reviews. So if you want to get some examples, 2 to 3 minutes is the average length of these. They're not, you know, really drawn out and things like that, or even staged. It's just genuinely getting their experience. And the thing I like about the way that we do it with over Zoom is it's kind of them in their environment. So you can see them and they're in their home or they're in their office or what, the clinic, and just expressing, you know, honestly, their experience working with us, just based on some really basic questions. I ask them something like, hey, tell us about your experience working with us here at Money Insights, right? So something really very simple, but it just evokes this opportunity for them to tell us how the experience has been.
Okay, so picture this, Rod. I'm wanting to check out Money Insights. Okay, I'm a potential client, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I got a great referral from a friend to this group, Money Insights. I want to learn more about what they do, how they help people grow their net worth. And so I get this referral, and I'm thinking, well, what do I do next, right? Well, the next thing they're going to do, I promise, is they're going to go to your website, and they're going to say, okay, like, what are these guys about? What are the, you know, what's the business and how could they potentially help me? And here's what I can tell you. There's nothing more powerful and impactful for them than for them to have actual people that you can't hide this. So this is what's so powerful about video reviews. They're completely transparent. The person is saying, I'm okay with the world knowing my first and last name and that I have a relationship, that a trusted relationship with these people. Okay, so Rod, one of the, or a couple of the benefits of video reviews, there's really two of them. Maybe more, but I'm gonna hit on the two most impactful ones. One is, we've been talking about consistent content. It's a really easy or simple way to continuously produce more content. And again, we've talked about how much Google loves consistent content. So so getting more people up there doing it is gonna help from that standpoint. And then maybe the most impactful thing is just that it's completely authentic and transparent. So you just can't hide from a video review, right? It's the world, it's you saying, you know what, I'm totally comfortable, I'm fine with the world seeing that these are people that I know, trust, and I'm willing to work with.
Yeah.
And that is extremely powerful.
Absolutely.
Okay, Rod, video reviews, is there anything else you want to say? Can I just say Rod is an expert at video reviews? And I'm going to hit on this really quick. Like, if you don't like asking for Google reviews, then asking for video reviews is going to be much worse, right? Because it is a little, it is more effort, and you're asking someone to kind of put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And so just know as you're doing these, it's important to be very strategic, ask at the right time and the right place and in the right way, right? So that you're not alienating people. And of course, you want to ask people who love what you've done with them. So that's why as we finish our work with people, we then ask them. But I'll tell you this, it's a great idea to prepare them. Going back to that RWK, the RWK project manager of ours, I love that on the front end, he talked about how he wanted to create a really great process. And if we did it, then to give him a Google review. Okay, imagine what would happen, and maybe I'll give him the tip, but if they took it another step further and said, hey, not only are we gonna get the Google review, but when you go and check out our images, and we're gonna have video after video of happy clients telling us how great their landscaping was.
That's a great idea. Yeah, great thought.
So anyway, okay, I think that's it, Rod. Those are our five kind of primary what to do in order to dominate Google. But let me just do a quick review. Dominate Google. Okay, so three steps. Number one, offer a high quality product or service. Number two, know your target market, define your target market. Number three, dominate Google. And now you know how to do it.
Easy as that.
Game, set, and match, Rod. Okay, before we check out, is there anything else you want to add to our three-step plan?
I have a bonus tip.
Oh,
we're not going to go into any detail on this.
Okay, wait, Rod. I want to hear your bonus tip, but I just realized I had a bonus tip, and I don't remember what my bonus tip is.
Okay.
So the big reveal is going to have to happen on the next podcast.
Okay. Or maybe I'll trigger it. Let's see.
But I'm excited to hear yours.
Okay. So my bonus tip is get a good CRM, customer
relationship manager.
Thank you. Get a good CRM, customer relationship manager. Yes. Again, I'm not going to go a lot of detail on that. It's important that you have a database, you know who your clients are, you have their information, you can get in touch with them, you have an organized way to reach out to, and even automated way, right? That's the cool thing about CRMs, the way they work, is that you can create automated ways to be in touch with your clients.
Rod, can you hear the weed whacker outside my window?
I hear it.
Okay, good. I was just checking. I want to make sure everyone can hear that. Okay, but I actually do remember my bonus tip. So
good. I was hoping.
It came together. Okay, bonus tip. And this might sound a little bit silly because of the things we've been talking about, but because it probably should go right up around like number two, but you have to set up a Google My Business page. Now, this sounds funny, but lots of businesses still don't have a Google My Business page. So here's the deal. You can't get Google reviews if you don't have a My Business page. It's really important that you have it. So even if you have a little bit of a presence, but like they're going to the website, you still have to have the Google My Business page. Your website is not enough by itself to create the legitimacy and trust that you want.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my bonus tip. I like it. Hey, Rod, with that bonus tip, I think we're probably ready to check out for the day. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you like our work, if you think it's good, give us an objective review. We really hope it's 5 stars, but give us an objective review because any review is important and good. And with that said, Rod, we're checking out. So I will see you next week, and hopefully we'll see the rest of you next week on the Money Insights podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Money Insights podcast. To learn more about the financial and business strategies discussed in this show, visit moneyinsights.net.